Welcome to Antennas to Heaven, episode 7, with Edwin van der Heide. I visited Edwin in his studio in Rotterdam, and we talked about a piece of music that is very important for him. It's a composition by Yannis Xenakis from 1977, called La Légende d'Air.
It's not a piece, you cannot, it doesn't make sense either to listen just a couple of minutes and think, okay, well, yeah, now I know what it is. No, it's a piece that demands your dedication. You just have to really listen to it. You cannot listen to it in the background either. It's not, that would not work at all as a kind of background music. But yes, once you give yourself to it, you're being taken by it and you're taken into these developments. I think the most important thing is to be open-minded. Sometimes you have people who are too preoccupied about what they're going to listen to. I mean, if they're preoccupied, there are people who are too preoccupied with the question whether this will be music or not. Which is a very strange preoccupation, because I mean, I think you should simply be open to new experiences, and from there see what it is and what it does with you and how you relate to it. The beginning of the piece is an immediate moment of confusion where it's unclear what the sound is, where it comes from, and it takes you, or at least me, it grabs me immediately. Then from there, I'm not going to describe the whole piece, but from there we get frequencies overlapping. Part of what we hear is not in the sound that is being produced in the space, but is happening as a result of distortion in our ears. So there it gets even more strange. So as a result of having two frequencies relatively close to each other, and especially in this frequency range, in this high, mid frequency range, it needs a bit of volume. If it's too soft, it doesn't happen, but at a certain volume, certain loudness, what happens is that actually our ears distort, and just like a guitar distortion can distort, or anything, I mean, we know things can distort, or something can resonate with something is another form of distortion, but our ears distort, and by distorting, what does the distortion do? New frequencies are being produced that were not in the original signal. So we get something that, of which we don't exactly know what it is, that can be perceived as almost something aggressive. I mean, I don't see it at all as aggressive. I find it a very beautiful experience, but I've seen people who when they experience something like that, they think like, shit, this is, they feel that it's getting too close. We are so used to believing that the world is the way we perceive it, but of course the world is made through our perception. Yeah, so it's we are completely unaware. we can never say what the world really is. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can say with a certain certainty, but there are a lot of things we cannot, because it is. I mean, already very simple things actually also happening in this piece, where if we have a transition between something that is rhythmical, if we speed it up, we start to hear it as a tone. Yeah, so we can hear taka 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 taka, and the faster it goes, it becomes brrr, we hear a tone. This transition is not a given. This is a transition that is in our perception. Yeah, and like that, everything, I mean, how we perceive space, yeah, we are very good at perceiving space, but we do it our way. That doesn't mean that this is how you perceive space, this is how we perceive space, this is not how sound is being perceived, this is how we perceive sound. And we could even argue that sound doesn't exist without us. There is no sound, except that we happen to have ears that are sensitive to vibrations in the air, and then we have a whole system afterwards that is interpreting these vibrations and signals, and from there, and that results in a certain perception, and from there we can say, okay, this is sound. So from there, other sounds are being introduced. A lot of the sounds are electronic. Part of the sounds are from more traditional African and Japanese instruments. I would say this mixes very well. So sometimes you don't know what it is, but you hear. And other sounds are more noisy kind of sounds. But I would say is that we start with pure frequencies, the composition transforms more it gets a textural quality. For example, we think about two stones scraping against each other, and then we get. The texture starts to morph, starts to develop. It's not so much about the individual notes, the individual events, but we get a density that is getting thicker, getting more thin, things that are moving up, moving down. So we're in the middle of processes that are developing, evolving. It's not the kind of music that is about a particular melody or a particular sequence of notes. It is about creating developments by combining many, many, many smaller elements together to create clouds, substances of sound, and to shape these substances in different directions to make them intersect, to make them go from very high to super low, to make them from very narrow to very broad, and to use these kind of things as developing musical structures. Thank you. really, really, really going to almost nothing. We, from the broadness and the roughness, we get back to more single frequencies, but very slowly. So and from there we get again the longer sounds. We get silence is in there, and it goes to, I mean, it feels like fading. It feels like disappearing, but then each time going to even less and even less and even less until it ends with really nothingness. Yeah, so it's no climax. It goes towards nothing and even more nothing and even less. So what did it to me? It literally made me aware of other possible forms of listening. It brought me, it learned me something about sound that I didn't know. That I had not been looking for in that particular direction, you could say. It was my friend with whom I was collaborating quite a bit, Zbigniew Krakowski, who said, "This is what you have to listen to." I don't remember. I think it was a birthday present or something like that. But it has certain things in there that fascinate me very much, that work, that and yeah, I mean, even in the structures, maybe I can also have sometimes idea that that it's a little bit stuck, and then it develops further. It's a very, to me, it's also a very pure way of working with sound. You could say maybe sound's going through all aggregation states. It's from gas to liquid to solid. And that caught me. If we think about the 70s, I think it was also seen as something very futuristic. I think I mean I'm projecting projecting a lot, but I think with a more open-minded audience than we have nowadays. I think it must have been overwhelming at that moment. It is So it's a moment. I mean, the piece in this case, it was a commission for the opening of the Pompidou Center. If I'm not mistaken, I think it has been running for 3 months. It's a serious time. It's of course also the time. I mean, I would say that although we're in the middle of using technology and our world has changed a lot, I think the futuristic idea was much bigger then than now. Well, I mean, technology that would bring us new things as well. So not technology so much as a tool. I mean, now we see, sure, it also brings us new things, but it's more seen as tools. And I mean, also in this particular piece, we see the fascination for the universe, dreaming about the universe. At that time in the 70s, also mathematics was really, I mean, it was very common to the beauty of mathematics was common in arts to use and to work with it. So that we don't see so much anymore. We don't dream so much anymore about a beautiful, perfect mathematical shape or the power of that. That's also a little bit of pity.
To direct your call to the right place, I'll need to know why you're calling today. So tell me in a few words, what's the reason for your call? You can say things like, change my appointment, or I haven't been paid my job seeker's allowance. About a loan, is that right?
I mean, I think what we have lost a little bit is that with technology being so accessible, there's less experimentation on the fundamental level of how things work and discovering new principles, or discovering, let's say, the possibilities of certain principles. I think a lot of things that are being made are not taking particular risk, but basically using old-fashioned ideas of beauty and using technology to magnify that, so to make it bigger, to make it stronger, to so put everywhere the knob to 10 or maybe 11, but so it's not experimentation in the form, it is being even more overwhelming.
Hello, can you hear me? Hello.
I mean, the internet when it started was a big dream that we would have, and it changed everything. But I mean, that we would have access to information and we do. I mean, the world has changed so much. I mean, looking up things that I can be here at home, whatever, and have this access to information is amazing. At the same time, what we didn't realize is that it would also change things, a lot of other things, and change power relationships. It gives it a lot of power, but on the good and the bad side again. I mean, it does enable people, but it also enables other people and companies to do other things with it. I mean, if we think about technology and warfare, and also, I mean, how, I mean, it's also the duality, of course. Everything is with, I mean, the world, the technology allows us to bridge distances. By making the distances shorter, it also makes the differences smaller.
Sorry, maybe a little differently. What's the reason for your call? You can
can say things like, change my appointment, or I haven't been paid my job seeker's allowance. So go ahead. What's the reason for your call? Sorry.
I'm absolutely not a pessimistic person. Should we be very pessimistic about it? No, we should take it into our hands and we should say, wait a moment, we have to really deal with this. But it's not a new thing. I mean, when the newspaper was invented, also it was a power game of who is going to write what. I mean, it's not that there was no manipulation of news or there was no... I mean, it has always been like that. I mean, and our current world is also revealing a lot more of what's going on that was hidden before. But we have to be very active in taking these aspects into account and controlling them, instead of thinking that it will be done, because it will not be done. We really have to question ourselves, in what world do we want to live? And that is a question that's not asked often enough.
Hello, you're through to the Department of Work and Pensions. Hello? Releasing the call.
To direct your call to the right place, I'd like to know why you're calling today. So tell me, in a few words, what's the reason for your call? You can see.
You've been listening to Antennas to Heaven. This podcast is produced and edited by me, Daniel García. Edwin van der Heide is an artist, composer, and researcher in the field of sound, space, and interaction. Apart from Yannis Xenakis, you've heard music from Isao Tomita, Kraftwerk, and Sam Kittel. Thanks for listening. And are you calling about yourself?